Hey, it's Brian. If you've ever thought about a career in sports, and I think most of you have since you're listening to the Work in Sports podcast, kind of makes sense. If not, I wonder why you're here. You should check out the Master's in Sports Administration program at Northwestern University. You'll learn essential skills from experienced faculty with connections to college, professional, and amateur athletics. You can choose a specialization in sports analytics and get in on this growing field. Trust me, it is a very big growing field. Earn your Northwestern master's degree online or in convenient evening classes. Find out more at sps.northwestern.edu/sports. One more time, sps.northwestern.edu/sports. And the Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by the Work in Sports Academy. You want to work in sports. We've already established that, or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. And I want you to work in sports, or else I wouldn't have created the Work in Sports Academy. I have created 4 online courses to help make your dreams of working in sports a reality. Learn how to master the getting hired part of your life, because we don't want you on the couch. We want you working in sports. Check out the Work in Sports Academy today. Workinsports.com/academy. Workinsports.com/academy. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Whew, just a quick personal vent, I am not a big fan of changing the clocks. I think it is purely mental, but I get the worst night's sleep for about a week after the clocks change, which happened last night. My 12-year-old daughter woke up at like 5:30 this morning, so clearly I passed this trait of annoyance down to her as well. Not a fan. Neither is she, I don't think. What even makes it worse is staying up to watch your team stink on Sunday Night Football. But I digress. I fully recognize that no one feels sympathy for Patriots fans like me. But I would like to state again for the record, I am from Boston, and therefore my fandom is legit and earned through decades of sucking. All right, now that we've cleared up the massive problems with daylight savings and sucking on Sunday Night Football, let's get to the question, shall we? Actually, before we get to the question, I literally just in the last 5 minutes finished up my interview for next week's podcast, not this Wednesday, the next Wednesday, with Joan Lynch, who's the chief content officer for WorkingNation.com and worked for many years at ESPN and was behind the 30 for 30 series and E60 and Sports Nation. And I am still like buzzing after that interview. We talked about the future of sports employment. We talked about the skills that are needing to be developed, angles that people should pursue, some really cool insider stories about the 30 for 30 series, including some of the stories they were pitched that they didn't run with. I mean, it was awesome. I'm totally geeked up right now. So if I talk fast today, that is why, because I'm kind of on an adrenaline high. Let's get to the question. I get all types of questions, but this one from Teague in Oregon, it really stuck out to me this week. Here we go. Hey, Brian, I suck at networking. Can you help? You know, I respect the brevity of this request. There is no flattery, no sugarcoating, just straight to it. And while I love it when people say, hey, Brian, you are so awesome, sometimes a good old I suck, can you help really cuts through the BS. And I appreciate that. Okay, so networking is a big subject. We've talked about it in a lot of different ways, but I like talking about networking because it's an area all of us need to get better at. I don't want to go on for hours and hours, so I'm going to focus this a bit. If you are, I'm not going to keep saying S-U-C-K because my kids will probably hear it and get mad at me, but why do you get to say that, Dad? Now you get mad at me when I say it, you know, that kind of thing. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Anyway, I'm going to focus this a bit. If you are of the mind frame, Teague, that you are not good at networking, we need to start with a big premise, a big overarching premise. And that's what we're going to do. If you want more, I have an entire course on networking as part of the Work in Sports Academy. So workinsports.com/academy. But for now, and that gets into the strategies and the tactics and very granular ideas and techniques and things of that nature. But for now, I'm going to go at this like I like to approach most things, which is to flip the conversation on its head and kind of reverse engineer things. So let's reverse engineer the heck out of this thing and ask the question, what makes someone become your friend? Now, that seems like a really strange question for me to be asking when somebody asked me about networking. But let's think about this. As I analyze my network of contacts, the only ones I would rely upon, disclose things about myself to, give deep time and effort to helping when they asked, Are those people I would consider more than just a connection? I would call them a friend. So that's what we want to actually analyze here. How does a network become something bigger than that? How does a relationship get deeper than that? Because that's where true meaning comes from. So how do you build more industry friends and relationships? That is the key to networking. It is the depth of the relationship, not the number. Okay? So I've moved around a bit in my life, and we're getting into my whole philosophy now, right? So I've moved around a bit in my life, and I've figured out that it can be pretty hard to make friends when you relocate and you're a little bit older. You know, when you're young and you're starting work, so like when I started out at CNN Sports Illustrated, making friends is pretty easy. You've got like 25 people starting at the same time as you do. You've got the same schedules. You got the same existence. You got the same salaries and job requirements. And you're all coming from different places, but you're all looking for to make new friends. Like it's easier. Shared experiences, shared schedules, you know, same career status, less responsibility. You can go out at night, not to worry about things. It's easy. But as you get older, it gets harder to break in with people. I left my cushy world in Atlanta to move to Seattle, knowing no one. Now I'm 28 years old, I'm the new boss, and everyone you meet already has a circle of friends they've been hanging out with for years. We don't have the same shared experiences. I don't know the area and all the little things that go into it. I don't know about that great little restaurant downtown. We all have different job levels, more responsibilities, life is changing. And this tends to make people lean into the group they already have rather than make new friends. Well, networking is the same damn thing as making new friends. So ask yourself, how do you like to be approached? How do you find a connection with somebody else? And then start to do those things. So just connecting with someone, like through LinkedIn or whatever, or just engaging them in small talk at a conference, or just liking their posts, isn't going to cut it. The person you do that with isn't going to stick their neck out for you next time you need a job or need advice or need a hand. Building a network is the creation of multiple mini friendships. Maybe not your tell them everything and complain about your spouse's best friend, but it follows the same rhythm. In life, we aren't trying to make 5,000 friends. We're trying to make the right 20 friends. Networking, again, is the same thing, and you need to have that reference, that frame of reference, that perspective. I have 6,536 connections on LinkedIn. I just looked. I know very few of them. Yes, it could be considered my quote-unquote network, but these are people that are opportunities to network, but they are not a network. They are lumps of relationship clay that I have done little to nothing to mold yet, right? Now, many people go about this networking concept with great pressure. You know, they think to themselves, oh my gosh, I don't know the VP of the Boston Red Sox, so my network stinks. I need more high profile people in my network. I actually think very differently about networking. I think the greatest impact and greatest relationships come from getting to know people, really getting to know people at your level or one step above or behind you. Yes, you will have some people in your network who are director level, VP level, CEO level, but that's not going to be the majority of them. The majority of the people are going to be at your level or just one step above or one step below. So remember how I talked about my time at CNN Sports Illustrated. My network, a huge percentage of it comes from those relationships with my peers at the time who have all gone on and out to new opportunities, but we formed a relationship then. Your network may be fellow interns, peers in class, professors, adjunct professors who are out in the workforce, intern coordinators, and people in entry-level jobs, right? Those could be the people that are forming your network. It doesn't have to be a CEO, a VP, somebody with the Yankees. Imagine for a second you're in school, right? Because a lot of you are, and you're approaching graduation, and you have it in your head you want to work in sports marketing when you graduate. Well, why in the world wouldn't you try to connect with a marketing coordinator for the local sports team? It doesn't have to be the VP of marketing. It just has to be a marketing coordinator, somebody in the department, or somebody in your athletic department, or in the minor leagues, or somebody local. My advice to everyone in networking is to remember it is about the depth of the relationship, not some imaginary number of connections or some perfect small talk script. It's about building a relationship. Okay, so let's get deeper here again. All right. Ask yourself, as we reverse engineer this process, why do you like someone? Because if you're networking, you're trying to get somebody to like you and want to interact with you. Well, why do you like somebody? Why does one person become your friend, someone you want to hang out with, and other people just become a kind of recognizable face that maybe you give a fist bump when you walk by? Boom. What's that calculus? Why does that happen? Why does friendship happen, and how can we relate that to a networking mentality? Well, did a little research. That's me, research guy. According to Psychology Today, friendship usually starts with proximity. Okay, friends are often those who cross paths with regularity. Our friends tend to be coworkers, classmates, people we run into at the gym. Great, that makes sense. So now throw that back at networking. Go back to my earlier point about networking with people at or around your level. You're going to be in the same circles. It makes sense that you can deepen that relationship. You can build on it. Start there with your networking. Who's in your proximity? Professors, adjuncts, business people, team reps, minor leagues, agencies, fellow interns, others in your major. These are important people to get to know and live through their experiences with. Now, after proximity, friendship evolves through shared experience, passions, and hobbies. Common ground, right? Having common ground. Okay, relate that to your networking. Again, remember my idea for networking with marketing people connected to your local teams. Well, you have common ground, likely discussion points. Hey, I'm interested in working in marketing, and I see you work in marketing for this team or whatever. I mean, that's how it starts, and that's how you start to build a relationship and a dialogue. Next step, and this doesn't come right out of the gate, this is a developing relationship, and this is developing friendship, and then network, all that kind of thing. Next step, self-disclosure. Think about it. When you've started to build a friendship with someone, share some laughs, have some interactions, and then you ask them a question, possibly a vulnerable one that signals to them you respect their opinion and value their input, that inherently deepens the relationship. Alert, alert, alert. I should have had a sound effect, but whatever, I don't have one. I'm not saying to bare your soul to a new contact, okay? Just being really clear here, I am not saying bare your soul to a new contact. That is not vulnerability, that's annoying. Just know when the time is right, honest self-disclosure is a major growth step in a relationship and can deepen that connection with someone in your network. Now, many of you hear that self-disclosure, right? And you think, oh, well, I need to tell them that I really need a job. I need to tell them that I feel like you should hire me, or you should tell me to get a job or something like that. That's not it. That's not self-disclosure. You're wrong. Okay. Self-disclosure in this instance would be saying something like, I feel like I'm doing so many things right in preparing for my job search, but I'm really scared that I'm not going to be able to find a good opportunity. That is opening yourself up to somebody. That's having a dialogue, showing some true vulnerability. And vulnerability is important developing a friendship and a network. So, Teague, I want to wrap this up a bit. You will have people in your quote unquote network that you develop through social media. And I love this. I see the value in it. I have lots of people in my social media network. It's an incredible tool to connect with people. But the strength of your network will come from your peers or close to peers you develop a real bond and friendship with. Think about how you like to be treated as a friend. You want someone who listens as much as they talk, who reciprocates sharing, who doesn't demand, who is kind and shares experiences. If you can say, hey, that's what I like in a friend, chances are that's what somebody else would like too. So approach your networking opportunities in that way. Be that person when you are networking. Networking isn't different. You don't like take out your brain and your personality and say, oh, okay, now I'm in networking mode. No, you want to be the real, true, genuine, authentic, and vulnerable self that you always are. And that's going to make people connect with you. That's going to make people want to get to know you. That's going to make people more reliant on you. And that's a good thing. So remember, networking isn't about 5,000 people. It's about 20 really good ones. And then you filter in with a backbone and other people that are from social media connections and a little bit of outreach and maybe this person who knows that person, and you start to build. But get that strong core and then go from there. All right, that's it for today. Coming up on Wednesday, I already talked about my interview with Joan Lynch, but that is going to be next Wednesday. Coming up this Wednesday, Kurt Landis, president and GM of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, AAA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies, and winner of the 2019 Larry McPhail Award for being the top promotional team in all of minor league baseball. That is a huge award, and there's so much to learn from Kurt about the business of baseball, because minor leagues are so different from the majors, and it's such a great training ground. So please tune in for that. It's a great interview. I'm excited to share all of it with you. I'll share it all with you. See you on Wednesday. Now get back to work. And remember, networking is about relationships and having the same approach to building a friendship. All right, get back to work.